You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of this episode of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from a radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where it's a little toasty in the studio. We actually had some AC problems, but that's all right. We're getting through it. We broadcast live each and every weeknight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on our flagship station, the Global Star Radio Network. I want to say thank you. Thank you so much to Global Star for broadcasting us as long as we can keep going. That's right. How long will that be? You know, I'm getting emails saying, well, what you're saying is hate speech. You know, it's interesting when Coach Dave Dottmeyer had a wonderful saying. Joe, what was that saying?
When the exactly. Truth becomes hate. Exactly. I don't know. I always screw it up. But it was paraphrasing something along the lines of when the truth becomes hate speech.
No. Yeah, when, see, we had to get this right. It's so eloquent.
Yeah.
Truth becomes hate speech truth becomes hate speech to those who hate the truth.
Exactly. All right. Truth becomes hate speech to those who hate the truth.
Right. And I've just seen a whole lot of emails that from people that are just saying, oh, you can't say, you know, how dare you take a stand? How dare you judge? Well, you know, we judge every day, and we don't judge, and here's the thing, we don't, at least, hopefully this comes across, we don't judge hold a person in judgment, we hold the actions of a person in judgment, and the consequences, and we attempt to provide, you know, to show the consequences in biblical fashion. Believe me, and let me just say this, you want to know, I mean, I'm a sinner, man, I mean, I gotta tell you. Steve and I, Steve thinks he's got a corner on how bad he is, you know, in certain areas, and I say, hey, Steve, buddy, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just too hard. I mean, sometimes you really have to repent after you, you know, we're all sinners, I guess. So, anyway, but it's interesting just to see the conversion. When I say conversion, it's interesting to see the uptick in people who are just becoming more and more and more and more, should I say again, and more critical about anyone taking a stand that's unpopular, non-PC. Yeah. It's really something to see. Folks, we are simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's BTR. And you can watch us live and by archive on our YouTube, official YouTube channel. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com. There it contains all of our shows, links to our shows, all audio, video venues. And then we've got another website, HagmanReport.com. There for news, information, analysis, and even contributing articles by contributors. And you know something? Let me toss this out to people. If you write on a website, if you're an author, or if you're just a someone who, like us, see the ills and have something to say about it, and would like us to publish maybe your article, consider writing for us. Make your voice heard. Now, obviously within reason, you know, and we do reserve the right to not publish articles. We're not going to, certainly we are not going to publish an article, you know, that would be critical, or not, I'm sorry, not critical, but that would definitely, like, you know, be threatening or of hate speech. We don't do that. But if you got information, intelligence, let's just say you're in a position of authority, perhaps. Maybe you're a police officer. Maybe you want your side to be heard. Let us know. Send us an email. studio@hagmanandhagman.com. And that gets, see, when you do that, that gets to us. We have other email addresses, but that would be the one to use in this instance. studio@hagmanandhagman.com, or just go to hagmanandhagman.com and click on the contact us. But seriously, think about it. And we would ask that you'd use your name, real name. Now, let me just say this. Your real name would have to be known to us. No more of, well, this is Bill from Mars. Okay? Ain't happening. I mean, in terms of, we have to know who you are. All right? And we will verify, do a background verify. But it'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? Make your voice heard. Yeah. But having said that, you know, we'd have to know who you are. That doesn't mean that the world has to know who you are. If you want to use an internet pseudonym, we can do that. But again, you would have to be known to us. And if you're writing from a position of authority, your qualifications would have to be verified by us, just so you know, so it's not free-for-all out there. So I think that's one of the biggest... See, you know what, Joe? To me, that's one of the biggest problems of the internet right now, especially as we get into the closer into the real problems with the upcoming riots, the civil disturbances, and I believe there will be the racial disturbances, the lack of privacy. People have a tendency to attempt to maintain anonymity, but not for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, you know, fool us once, shame on us. Shame on you. Fool us twice, shame on us. So again, that's kind of what we're. So feel free, you know, HagmanReport.com. If you want your articles to be, or if you have something to say, we'd love to be able to provide that platform for you. And you know, like Paul McGuire, we publish some of Paul's stuff whenever we have that opportunity. And others, yeah. You know. So, yeah, before we get into the,
we got a great show for tonight. We are going to be unveiling a new sponsor and product tonight. The sponsor will be joining us here in about 15 minutes. Minuteman Rocket Stove is the name of the product. We got one right down here, and when he joins us, we will show you how this works. This is a pretty
neat
product.
He's only going to be out for a couple minutes, but you got to see this. You got to see it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat and handy. Then we got Carl Gallup coming on.
Yep.
At the bottom or top of the next hour until the end of the show. You can go to his website, carlgallups.com. He's very well known. He does a lot of, I'm sure many people have heard his voice on different YouTube videos.
Oh, as soon as you hear it, you'll know.
Yeah. I mean, if you ever watch a YouTube video where they talk about the meaning of the name Barack Obama from. And other World Net Daily related issues, he's there. Was it P.P. Simmons?
Yeah, P.P. Simmons, right.
And I mean, just go to carlgallops.com, check out his bio, check out his work. He's worked with Jonathan Kahn. He's got just a whole long list of great endorsements. He's an author. He's been on numerous radio and TV shows, and he is going to come on to talk about geopolitical issues and spiritual issues, biblical issues, and what we're seeing today. And it's going to be a fantastic interview, and that will be from 8 to 10. And tomorrow night, again, don't forget Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, and his wife Nina Horn will be joining us.
Yeah, Nita. For N-I-T-A, Nita.
Nita,
yeah,
sorry.
And I want to just tell you a little bit about this. You think you know Tom Horn. Well, Tom Horn is going to have... Tom Horn is going to... never before, I don't think, on any other platform aside from his Skywatch TV, which I believe it's there, but you have to work to find it. He's never before talked about an experience that he had. He was dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know how many people have heard this story, but if you think, without comparing notes, I mean, I was talking to Steve Quayle yesterday, and we were talking about Tom. Tom, if you're listening, I mean, it was all good. So, but we were talking about Tom, and to hear from Steve what Tom told Steve and what I learned, and then what Tom basically told, there was a big conversation. Anyway, you're just going to be blown away. The real Tom Horn, and why, it's going to answer a lot of questions, I think, Joe. That's going to answer a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And then Nita's coming on to talk about stuff that she's doing. Yeah, this is mind-blowing things. When I first heard it, I kind of said, you know, okay. And I didn't... Actually, the first time I heard Steve talk about this, he didn't mention Tom's name. Or if he did, I didn't hear it. This is a while back now. I thought, okay. You know, it'd be like somebody you didn't know saying that they saw... you know, a UFO or something like that. You know, you can, okay, yeah, maybe not. You know, it depends on the credibility of the witness in many cases. And then yesterday when Steve was saying, well, you know, this is precisely what happened, and then there's more we get into it with Tom and everything, and I said, wait a minute. Now I'm connecting the dots, and bang, there it is. So it's tomorrow night going to be an extremely important program. I'm sorry, Joe, I didn't need to carry on that long, but
no.
Look, we got so many things. Scientists,
we got a lot of stuff artificial intelligence, from
in the days of
facial
Noah,
recognition
man.
Software to artificially created human genetics to interesting article. Elon Musk: chance we are not living in a computer simulation is one in billions.
But he says this,
though. If we aren't stuck in a Matrix-style world, then the world is about to end. Which I found very interesting. Let's lead off with this, and then we'll go to the article you got. Elon Musk has said that there is only
the heck's going
a
on? I look
one,
like Spanky or something here with a...
one in billions chance that we are not living in a computer simulation. Our lives are almost certainly being conducted with an artificial world powered by AI and highly powered computers. Now, what he's saying here, he's saying we live in a computer simulation in a matrix that is being controlled by artificial intelligence, and we don't even know it, or we're not aware of it.
Gotta get a hair and makeup in. Sorry about that.
But the what he's saying, I guess under the lines, between the lines here, is he's hoping that we are living in a computer simulation. Otherwise, there is a God, and what God of the Bible says is real, is what I take out of this first paragraph. But he goes on to say, and this article says, Mr. Musk has donated huge amounts of money to research the dangers of artificial intelligence, said that he hopes his prediction is true because otherwise it means the world will end. So I was thinking about this when I was reading it and going through this article, and he says this: the strongest argument for us probably being in a simulation, I think, is the following. 40 years ago, we had Pong, two rectangles and a dot. That's where we were.
Hey, I still am trying to master that.
Now, 40 years later, we have photorealistic 3D simulations with millions of people playing simultaneously, and it's getting better every year. Soon, we'll have virtual reality and augmented reality.
I'll take Pong.
If you assume any rate of improvement at all, then the games will become indistinguishable from reality. Just indistinguishable, he says. He said that even if the speed of those advancements dropped by 1,000%, we would still be moving forward at an intense speed relative to the age of life. So what he's saying here is we are basically either going to start living in a artificial intelligence created virtual reality that apparently we're already living in.
Well, but yeah, yes, but you know, to discuss this, I really believe, like the way Ted describes it and others describe it, it's to me, it's difficult for me to understand because I don't get this.
He says this, either we will make simulations that we can't tell apart from the real world, right, or civilization will cease to exist.
Okay, but why? Right. Why? Why does that?
Well, that tells me a lot as far as what he's not saying or what reading between the lines here. Obviously, this man does not believe in God.
Yeah, obviously. Or not our God, not the God of Christianity, but...
Correct. And why is it one or the other? Why is it we live in a computer simulation where we can't tell the real world from the simulation, or civilization ceases to exist? That tells me that he understands the time period we're in, even though he doesn't believe in God.
Right.
And hopes to create a... And this had me going back into the thoughts. You know, you talk a lot about the mark of the beast changing the DNA.
Right.
What about consciousness? What about if your consciousness was able to be uploaded?
Well, I've often said consciousness resides outside of the human body. Now, think about that. Okay. That's what I believe, personally. Not, can I prove it? No, I can't prove that. I believe that we are connected somehow to a kind of a hard drive, you know, somewhere else. This is not New Age thinking. This is just because we're souls with a human body. If that's the case, all right, when we die, our souls leave our body, right? I mean, it's simple as that. Mm-hmm. Our bodies don't leave our souls, our souls leave our body. So... what would be such a stretch to believe that consciousness, for example, resides outside of the body in real time, in real life? And if that's the case, wouldn't that explain a lot of things, including, but perhaps not limited to, you know, that feeling of deja vu you get sometimes? Or think about the power of prayer. When you're consciously praying, how you can perhaps make a difference in certain things.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely you can. Trying to understand exactly, you know, what this guy is saying is hard. It talks about, at the end of the article, how this has been a debate from ancient philosophy, you know, throughout the history of our world till now. But we see this just huge influx, especially in the last 2-3 years, of artificial intelligence, computer abilities to go through and create their own artificial systems, genetic advancements in genetic technology, and from GPS and real-time monitoring to any type of cloud computing systems that we see are coming up everywhere. I actually found a patent yesterday, or not a patent, IBM
yes.
patent, United
yes.
States patent from IBM, monitoring individuals using distributed data sources.
Yep. Yep.
And this goes through and explains how you can be monitored by different devices that are invented to provide a method of pinpointing not only your location in real time, but your behaviors and what you intake on a daily basis, what your blood, like your stresses, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, everything being monitored in real time.
Right.
And it's very interesting, and we can get into this on another day when we have more time. But if you just look up IBM Tracker and you want to see this, 5/2016, May 2016, this was put out. But and you got an article there about the genetics.
Yeah. This disturbs me a little bit on a number of levels, of course, but there was a secret Harvard meeting. Scientists announced plans for synthetic human genomes. Just 3 weeks ago, there were 130 scientists and people, businessmen and policy leaders. It was an invitation-only, closed-door meeting at Harvard to talk about a very ambitious plan to create synthetic human genomes. Okay, so what does that mean? Basically, create life. This is what it means. You can get into the biology and the different levels, but there was a lot of criticism about the secrecy in the participants publish their ideas, declaring that, of course, they're launching a project to radically reduce the cost of synthesizing genomes, which is a potentially, according to the article in by Joel Achenbach, the Washington Post, that could enable technicians to grow human organs for transplantation. Now, where do you draw the line? Because,
I mean,
we're looking at some pretty serious things here, in my view. Where do you draw the line? Because do you make chimeras then for transplant?
Where do you draw that line?
Right. But this is something we'll have to get into more. You were talking earlier before the show, folks. I don't know how many people know this UCLA shooting.
Yeah.
You want to talk about this because it's not being talked about much.
There was a shooting at UCLA yesterday.
Maynard Sarkar.
A man shot another man and killed himself. There was a massive response by the LAPD. They put the city on tactical alert. They thought it was a live shooter situation in the college.
Yep.
Well, it turns out this UCLA shooter was a Muslim. After they reported it was a white male, the guy was a Muslim. And not only did he kill the professor, but the UCLA shooters had a kill list in his house, which on the kill list, a woman was listed along with two professors. The woman lived in Minnesota. Well, she was found dead in Minnesota. A man who carried out a murder-suicide at UCLA left a kill list at his Minnesota home that led authorities to find a woman's dead body.
Klug was her name, I believe, right?
Manak Sarkara. Drove to Los Angeles from Minnesota with two guns and killed Professor Bill Klug before killing himself. Former UCLA grad student killed a woman in Minnesota before carrying out the attack on UCLA where he fatally shot a young professor, then killed himself on Thursday. Police said Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The attack came after Sarkar, 38, had composed a kill list with the names of the woman and two UCLA professors.
Make no mistake about it. This is an Islamic Muslim hate crime or a
terrorist attack.
Terrorist attack. Thank you.
I mean, the guy has a kill list in his house. Two out of the three people on the kill list are dead, including himself. He drove all the way to Minnesota to kill one of the people. Drove all the way back to Los Angeles to kill the other and himself. And
right. Yep.
I mean, we're just getting the beginning information about this. But there's a lot more to this than what's going on. They're saying now it wasn't about... at first they said it was a lover's quarrel, murder-suicide, but then they went out and now they're saying it's something to do with intellectual property.
Right.
And curriculum. Something to do with this guy and his attendance at UCLA and what he was working on.
Right.
But I think we still... If they're not covering it up more, we'll come out about this... shooting and what was really going on here.
Exactly.
And there's still another professor who was on the kill list who is alive, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that man, because a lot of the times, unless this was a personal vendetta, these things don't have just one attacker.
No, and here's the warning for everybody, I believe, what the media is not saying. The behavioral... The FBI, now, not the DHS, but the FBI, I can say this with certainty based on my information from my source. The FBI investigated this. This is part, how can I put this without I'm going to be very accurate. This man is not just a single guy coming in here in the United States. He entered. He came to the United States on a foreign visa, student visa, in 2001 from India, I believe, an Indian university. He was granted permanent legal status in 2014. Supposedly, he was in the U.S. legally. But here's what the information I'm getting. This man was part of a larger group of Islamic men with an agenda. All right, this is not just an isolated incident. Can I prove it? No, I can't. Can I tell you where I got this from? No, except it's on good authority. We'll you're going to be seeing more of these attacks being perpetrated. So take that for what it's worth, and this is why I would advocate right now, because of the way things are, certainly I would advocate watching your surroundings and certainly being able to fend off any type of an attack. That's my view. Look deep. There's much more to Sarkar. There's much more to this UCLA shooting than what is being led, or what people are understanding.
And, folks, there was a separate Muslim attack where a burqa-clad assailant attacked a Georgia homeowner with an American flag in the front of the victim's home today. According to cops, Aisha Abriam, 30, emerged Tuesday morning from a wooded area adjacent to victim Dami Arrow's home in Lawrenceville, a city about 30 miles northeast of Atlanta. Arrow told police that his eyes revealed, walked up to the mailbox and put the flag out in front of it. So, armed with this flag, which was attached to a 4-foot-long PVC pipe, this Muslim woman advanced on the flag in a threatening manner, grabbed the flag, then started hitting her with it, according to the Lawrenceville Police Department. The two children of Arrow, as Arrow's two children sought to help their mother, the Muslim woman was able to get one of her shoes off and struck Arrow's teenage daughter in the head. Anyways, this man's being charged with three counts of three misdemeanor charges of assault for basically beating up a stranger with the American flag, and this person is an immigrant as well. And I don't know if you saw the statistics yesterday that came out, but 1,037 Syrian refugees taken in so far this year. Two Christians. 1,035 Muslims.
That's what's being reported, right? That's what's being reported. It's much more than that, folks. So you know that.
But the
percentage, even I mean, the percentage. What is it? 0.002. Anyway. Okay, so, folks, here's the deal. Minuteman Rocket Stove.
Yeah, we're having a hard time getting him on the
okay.
air.
I actually, okay, well, it doesn't matter, but because here's the deal. Make sure you got the number right.
Yeah.
All right. I was contacted by Minuteman Rocket Stove, saw the... So, if you go to MinutemanStove.com, you'll see an ammo can, or what looks to be like an ammo can. And this was supposed to be some sort of great stove. And I said, yeah, well, okay. Yeah. Hey, I've got ammo cans. I can put firewood in it, and it works for me. And then the owner said, oh, it's $159. And I said, yeah, okay. In your dreams, I'm going to pay that. And he said, let me send you one, along with a couple of fire starters. I said, sure, why not? Go ahead. Because I would never promote anything we don't believe in or use ourselves.
And I gave Todd the wrong number, so.
Yeah, that's figures. All right, so anyway, the long story short is he sent us one. Eric, the tech, tried it, and absolutely 100%. But this is not an ammo can with, you know, Minuteman Rocket Stove put on the side of the box, and here you go. No, 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 no. This thing weighs about 75 pounds. No, I shouldn't say that. Easy now. All right. This is a high quality, and I mean a high quality, device. Here, you better put it on here so it doesn't... Okay.
No, this is very high quality.
For those people watching, can you see that? Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and... We have to say this, all right? We promote long-term storable food. We promote survival supplies because we do know that there's going to be the supply disruption. So a lot of times people forget about, well, you need to cook, you know, you need something to cook with. This is not a Coleman-style 20-gauge, you know, regular camping stove. This is a survival stove, all right? This is something I can actually get behind and believe in. These fire starters, by the way, do not do that. This will burn our studio down. I've never seen anything as...
You take this little metal piece right here, and you strike the fire starter with a little bit of elbow grease, and you will get...
This it'll look like Great White, you know, in a concert.
And any these fire strikers go from 10,000 to 15,000 strikes per starter, and you have some that are in these wooden-handled... You have some that are in old ammo, empty ammo shells.
But here's the deal. I was certainly disinclined to even get behind or even promote the product until I had it in my hand, until we put it through its test, until we saw the quality, until we felt it. I mean, this thing, I don't know how much it weighs, but it's solid. It's solid. So, anyway, bottom line is I am now... sold, and I believe in this. And as far as stoves are concerned, the high quality of this is not just an ammo camp. Are we on? Is he on? Lane Miller? Head of...
No, he's actually calling the studio.
Okay.
And all right, Lane, if you're listening, hold on a second.
Yeah,
I just get off. We'll the number back to our engineer, and hopefully he can get you on.
But I would like everyone to go to MinutemanStove.com to check them out, because, like I said, I was originally disinclined to even take this to talk about this. But I even talked to my wife about this. I said, "Now, you know," and I showed her how to use it and everything, and she said, "Okay, I could do this." All right, and it's easy to understand, and this thing is just absolutely like. To me, this is a Cadillac of stoves, of field stoves. This is not your camping stove. This is not something that will fall apart or rust after 2 or 3 or 4 years. This will last longer than your needs. This is why I said, okay, yeah, we're gonna do this, because I believe in this. And Subsequent to the receiving this and testing this, we both Joe and I are ordering one for our cars, our vehicles, and keeping one each at home as well. That's how much we believe in this. And I'm going to tell you, I just cannot even tell you about the quality. It's a very, very heavy duty, heavy gauge metal. And it's just phenomenal. So please, folks, MinutemanStove.com. For a limited time, they're offering free shipping on their rocket stoves and their fire starters. They're now shipping to Canada. If you go to their website, MinutemanStove.com, you'll see the storefront. And I believe, like I said, I believe that both the fire starters and the stove are the products to have. When it hits the fan, you're going to really need to have something like this, and the quality is great. So people talk, and the reason we're having him come on for a couple of minutes is all, just to talk about this, is because it's the first time out. We have long-term storable food that we purchased from American Survival Wholesale. We've got the other product. But you know what? We were looking for a very specific stove, okay, very specific. This has got a very heavy-duty, and I don't know if you can see this, but a very heavy-duty burner on here that's a removable burner.
Put it up there.
It's actually, it'll probably flash on there.
We got it.
I mean, this is incredible the way this fits in. The way this can has been modified.
And a lot of people think, you know, when you get into that situation, you'll just build a fire and be able to cook. This will make it so much easier. It's very handy, very simple, and along with the fire, I mean, the fire starters alone to me are very important. But you know, this Minuteman rocket stove, like my dad, it's very portable, very easy.
Now we have Lane Miller with us. Yeah. He's the owner, the man behind MinutemanStove.com. I asked him personally, well, both Joe and I did, to come on tonight for just a couple of minutes, because, and he'll tell you too, I was kind of slow on the uptake. I was slow, okay, real nice ammo can. I could get an ammo can and, you know, throw wood in it. No. He said, let me send you one. I said, okay. And all of a sudden, I want to be really, really good friends with him, because it's a cool product. Mr. Miller, thank you for coming on such short notice.
Thank you so much, Doug. That's wonderful. I really appreciate all the kind words. And hey, Joe, how are you doing tonight? Thanks for having me on the show.
Dyslexic, Joe. Dyslexic tonight.
Yeah, I gave Todd the wrong number.
Well, we got it all sorted out now, so we got each other's numbers. Everything's good.
Yeah, we got your numbers.
So you guys got your stove, and it's a neat little stove. It's a product I came up with a couple of years ago. It all happened as a result of me losing my power for 5 days. You know, I had been a prepper and been putting away food for years. And it really took an experience where I was having kind of a shakedown situation to realize that I had a hole in my preps. And the thing that I hadn't really thought through from my standpoint was cooking the food. And at the time that my power went down, we got hit by a little tornado here, and it took us down for 5 days. But, you know, it was something that I had half a gallon of Coleman fuel, and I'm staring at three little Coleman stoves and thinking, well, gosh, you know, I'm good for about a week. You know, that was all I had. And it showed me I needed something that would burn wood, because really you need something sustainable to get past 2 or 3 weeks. Stockpiling green bottles and gallons of white gas, or, you know, even unleaded fuel, you're going to end up burning that in your car. You just don't want to have to rely on that in a long-term lights-out scenario. We need to have a different way to do it. And to be sustainable, you know, it comes down to you're either burning wood or you're using solar. And, you know, solar's got its drawbacks in that it's something that's only you can use only when the sun's out. So unless you're willing to spend all your days cooking, you know, that's not a very handy thing. And burning wood, if you're doing it in an open fire, is a lot of work. I don't know if you guys remember the old Rifleman show. It seemed like all they did all the time was split wood. And, you know, if you don't have the resource at your disposal, say you live in an urban or a suburban environment, you know, you're not going to have acres and acres of wood to split even. And if you did, it's a lot of work. So this is a way, by using a rocket stove, which is a very simple device. The design goes back thousands of years, but basically you're feeding very small little sticks about the size of your thumb to your pinky into a small little burn tube, and that burn tube is insulated, so it really nestles that heat and focuses it. And then it sends that heat up to your bottom of your pot. Nothing is wasted. Your heat is contained and it's focused, and you get a great fuel air mix, because the chimney effect sucks oxygen into the bottom where the fuel is fed in. So it works like a little jet engine when you get it revved up. And
actually, I noticed that too. When Eric brought it back, I was playing around with it, and I noticed the when you say rocket stove, I did not connect, of course, you know, Mr. Intelligent here, I did not connect that name to the process. It's kind of, it's a patented process, or patent pending, in terms of what you've done with this, right?
Well, our design is, I can't take credit for designing rocket stoves. There's many, many different designs out there, and it's often an item that people will even fabricate themselves out of, you know, expedient materials that are close at hand. You can dig one into the ground using a technique called a Dakota hole, which is basically just two tunnels in the ground that are connected by a little short tunnel between them, two holes in the ground, and it'll work in the same fashion. But by using the chimney effect to suck air into the bottom, when you scale up a rocket stove, larger ones, you know, you get over a 4-inch tube and you get it a couple of feet tall, and it's sucking air so hard it makes a noise. It sounds like one of those V2 buzz bombs from World War II. Yeah, but you can really hear the thing running. So they're very efficient, extremely efficient. You'll use less than a tenth of the fuel that you'd use in a normal open fire. And it's small stuff. It's small diameter. It's the size of your pinky to your thumb. And you don't have to use any tools. You don't have to split anything. You can send the kids out to gather the fuel up. It just takes a few moments. And that really becomes the least of your problems. If you're in an urban environment, you could break up a pallet in our little stove, and you could cook on it with a pallet for a week. That's how little fuel that they use. Another neat feature of rocket stoves, because they're so efficient and they burn so hot and clean, they burn smokeless as well. When you get them up to about 1,100 degrees, they double burn all the gases, and that results in a smokeless fire. So you're not putting up a big smoke signal, and that can be handy too. It's a little bit stealthy to use. Our design.
Let me just ask you this real quick, because undoubtedly we're going to get people saying, "Well, you know what? I can go to the surplus store and buy an ammo can for $20." You know, and while that might be true, what makes your rocket stove made from an ammo can basically different than somebody going to
the ammo can itself is basically just the chassis of our stove. That's the outside. Inside of the stove is our burn tube, our L tube, and it's made out of 1/8-inch steel, and everything's solid welded. We hand fabricate each one of our stoves. They're all made in small batches, and they're all hand welded. They're not coming apart. It's an 1/8-inch of steel. That's what you would have to burn through to wear one of our stoves out. I just don't see it happening. Even with daily use, it would take years and years to burn it through. Now, between the can and the burn tube itself, we pack it with ceramic refractory mat insulation. And that insulation's got a real high R factor. It doesn't absorb water or any kind of moisture. It doesn't deteriorate or rot. And it's very lightweight, and it's an excellent insulator. It's good to 2,400 degrees, and we're not getting close to those temperatures, so we're certainly not stressing that insulation. And it protects the can. So the can only gets about 200 degrees on the sides and about 160 degrees on the bottom, which also makes it safe to run the stove right on top of a table. You can use it on a wood tabletop like a picnic table and not damage the wood. So you don't always have to sit on the ground with this stove, which is really nice and handy.
And, Lane, one thing I saw pointed out in the instructions is do not use liquid flammable, like gasoline or lighter fluid, to get this going by using those. But, and I know you explain it in the instructions, but why do you want to stay away from the liquid flammables when using this stove?
Well, it's just being overcautious on our part as the manufacturer. You always have to anticipate that when we say liquid fire starters, someone might decide to pour gasoline in there, something crazy, you know, and it's a confined little space. And if any of that liquid was to get down inside, you know, around the insulation and stuff, I don't know what could happen. So we just really, you know, caution people not to use liquid fire starters. It's not good practice anyhow. The best way I've found to start this little stove is to use what I use. It's my, you know, regular everyday fire starting kit is one of the ferro rods and a cotton ball that's got a little bit of Vaseline on the cotton ball. And what that does is the ferro rod makes a shower of sparks. It hits the cotton ball, and it lights very easily. Usually you get it on the first or second strike. And that Vaseline will melt into the cotton, kind of wick in as it's burning, and it'll make it burn much, much longer. So you can make a cotton ball burn well over a minute by putting
a little bit of Vaseline on it. Yep. And I got to tell you, it's beautiful. It was just great.
Of those and put them down in the stove. I keep a ferro rod in there, and it's a whole kit ready to go.
Yep, And I'll say this too, after it cleans up nice, and we had I had brought it to the studio after it was used and closed it up. No smell whatsoever from the.
None.
You know how you get that creosote or soot smell? Nothing.
Yeah. Ours is the only stove that we know of out there that fully enclosed inside of itself. It's self-contained. There's a rubber seal on the lid. And when you reattach the lid, the burner and all of the burn tube and everything are inside the box, and they get sealed airtight. And that makes it great. The outside's, you know, usually pretty clean. You can put it right back in your vehicle or store it in the house. You don't have to leave it out in the shed or, you know, outside where it's going to take any moisture. But the inside of the stove stays sealed up airtight as well, so it doesn't go through that burn and rust cycle when it's being stored. So that's really going to add to the longevity of the stove. And it also allows the user to keep a fire-making kit and some kindling, or have the stove pre-packed and ready to use. Put some fatwood shavings down in the bottom of it, or, you know, whatever you like to use to make fires. You can keep a pretty good amount of it in the bottom of the stove with a ferro rod and cotton balls or whatever, and then the stove is ready to go. And that stuff, you know, will always be bone dry. Even if you're in a humid environment, it's still going to be dry in there. So it's a neat little kit. And the stove only weighs 14 pounds. I mean, if we made it any lighter, we would be taking away some of its durability. So we've got it at a place where it's extremely portable, but it's not what I would consider packable. You know, I wouldn't buy this with a bug-out bag in mind. But, you know, what it'll do is allow you to conserve those liquid fuels for if you do find yourself on foot, you'll have that stuff still, you know, in your arsenal and ready to be used instead of just using it up every day.
Right.
You know, I often think that people have an idea that they're going to bug out, you know, as soon as something happens, they'll be running off somewhere. And most of us are going to be at home and just trying to hold on to what we got. And in an environment like that, the stove will allow you to really conserve your other fuels and your other assets so that you don't just go burning them up. You can use your rocket stove. So.
And you said, you know, you said it all too. I mean, this is efficient. It cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores. I mean, this
absolutely.
And folks, all of these handmade in North Carolina. They're extremely rugged. They come with a 2-year warranty, and
we've had a lot of people shaking them down. You know, we've had them shook down by some military guys that deployed with them. I've got all kinds of survival instructors that are using them in their courses and showing them to people and training people on how to use a rocket stove. And, you know, it's a very durable product. We have had zero defects so far. Nobody's called with any problems, and we've got quite a few of them out in the field. And we give a 2-year warranty on all of our stoves, but I tell you, if you ever have a problem, if you'll just get it to me, I'll try my best to fix it for you. So, you know, we'll always stand behind our work. We're real proud of what we do, and we're real proud that we can make this product in America. So,
amen to that. And you're putting, and folks, this guy's putting a lot of people to, you know, our sponsors, including now Minuteman Provision Company, Minuteman Stoves, are putting people to work in America.
That's right.
Okay. And thank
right.
you for doing that. American made.
Thank you.
American quality, or high quality. And, so the $159 out the door, or is that right? Free shipping.
They're $169 out the door, and
$169?
We'd like to also. Yeah, they're $169 out the door. $169, and we're also going to be offering a free fire striker with each one of the stoves that goes out. I haven't put up a special code on the internet, so we're going to do it for everybody until I get the code in place and we can start announcing that. But and there's also free shipping on that, so $169.95 will get it anywhere in the United States. If you're in Canada, it's only $20 more, and we're going to throw in one of our fire strikers, which is a $15 value. It's a great little striker. It has 8,000 to 10,000 strikes, and we'll also get it to you free shipping. And they go out United States Postal Service priority mail, so even if you're West Coast or Alaska, it's only 3 or 4 days, so it won't take very long before you get one. Yeah,
and those fire strikers. Well, I just want to say this. The Firestrikers are I had to give Joe a time out because he was playing with them. And I mean, wow. Those things really...
Well, they're very sparky, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's a big difference in a good and a bad Firestriker rod. And a lot of the packaged ones that you buy in the national chain stores are really not worth a flip. Once you try one that's a really good quality rod, and we did a lot of research on that. We actually sampled six different companies and sat down, and I scrubbed on those things all weekend, going back and forth, seeing which ones we liked the best. And we're extremely proud of our rods that we used, and we've never seen anybody have a sparkier one. So I think you'll be surprised when you actually get your hands on one, how much really comes off them. And, folks, that makes all the difference, especially when you're wet, you're cold, and you're shaking, and all your tender's wet, too. If you can put just a big, huge shower down there on it, it'll get it going. But if you just got five or six little sparks coming off at a time, it can be a chore.
Yeah, I won't tell people what I did at my home with one of those and what happened. It was, you know, I was thankful I was outside, but man, yeah, they work. I'll just say that. Mr. Miller, I just want to say thank you again. I just want to welcome you to the Hagman and Hagman family, along with our other sponsors and partners. Just want to say thank you for a quality product. We tried it. We like it. We endorse it. It is to me, it's a specialty product, okay? But it's a necessary product if you are going to be prepared. I mean,
well,
that's the way
thank you very much. Yeah, I think so too. We really believe in what we're doing, and I want to thank you and Joe, Doug, for what you guys do, because I've been a fan and listened to the show for many, many years now, and you guys are very brave, and you guys are one of the few groups out there, or the few shows where you get the truth, and you get it in good measure and unfiltered, and I love it. And you guys keep doing what you're doing and getting the good word out.
Just reassure the audience, if I may. Did we not make you jump through? Did we not make you jump through hoops with the? We asked. We said we're not gonna advertise unless we believe in it. Didn't we?
Oh, absolutely. You guys were tough.
Okay.
After a while, I was like, well, I don't know if they really want me or not. But you know, I appreciate now that you guys did. You wanted to see a stove and you wanted to put it to use, and I'm glad you guys did that, because now you understand, you know, more and more about what the stove does and why a person should have one. And I really I'm glad you guys spent so much time with it. I appreciate that.
All right, brother.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Again, MinutemanStove.com is the website, and we got to thank you again for sending us a stove and letting us try it. It is an awesome stove. I would recommend it to anybody.
Thank you.
Take advantage of this. Yes, absolutely. Take advantage of the sale here. Shipping. No shipping.
Well, God bless you guys, and God bless your whole audience, and you know, just may the Lord watch over all of us and help us get through these dark times. And you know, that's all I got to say about that. Is let's just keep our eye on the prize.
Amen. All right, brother. God bless.
Guys,
thank you.
Love you
thank
guys.
You.
Y'all have a good right. evening. I'm gonna
you too.
Hang up and listen to the rest of the show.
All right.
All right,
it's a good one coming up.
Again, MinutemanStove.com, yeah. MinutemanStove.com.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, Joe.
This is awesome.
Yeah. I don't want to make this into any more of an infomercial here, but I wanted people to get to know Mr. Miller, Lane Miller, of Minuteman Stove, and get to know the Rocket Stove. But see, where I was kind of screwed up was, this is, to me, is a specialty product that you need. When I say specialty, I mean this will cook your stuff.
And if you have questions, folks, you can email Mr. Miller at
yes.
MinutemanStove@gmail.com. MinutemanStove@gmail.com.
Just go to MinutemanStove.com and click on, contact us or whatever. But anyway, and this goes good. American Survival Wholesale, for example, they sell a lot of for freeze-dried food.
Yeah.
American Survival Wholesale, just a wonderful, wonderful source, for example, for freeze-dried or long-term storable food. This to cook it on, I mean, what a great workable relationship.
Absolutely.
And
like I said, you know, like he said, building regular big fires are very inefficient for trying to cook food. Yeah. This makes it so simple, and it is, as my dad said, portable, easy to carry, easy to clean, and will cook great food.
It does a
great job
with
the temperature. Setting the temperature, the fire where it needs to go.
Man, it's pretty cool, and I'm going to see if I can do something about my spanky look here. I don't know what the heck happened.
We'll get a makeup lady in here. Carl Gallup is coming on next. We're going to get into a lot of stuff from the presidential race to Bible prophecy and more on the other side. Stay with us. CarlGallup.com is his website. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.